Welcome to the Lion's Tribe. I am Pastor Jimmy Odukoya. I pray this episode blesses you and it reminds you to become the lion that God has called you to be. Be blessed.
Precious Holy Spirit, do only what you can do even now. Even now. Lift every burdened heart. Touch every weary soul. Strengthen every feeble body. Guard every shaken mind. We ask for your prevailing mercy that is new every morning. We ask for your encompassing mercy, the one that surrounds us and protects us, O God. We ask for your sure mercy, the one that is a sure thing, a pillar of support. And finally, we ask for your great mercy, the one that establishes us, puts our feet on the solid ground. Take all the glory, Lord, because you deserve it. 10,000 songs are not enough. 10,000 words are not enough. We can sing from now till eternity, and it still will not be enough. We worship you. Take all the honor. Adoration be yours. In Jesus' name. If you believe it, say amen. If you receive it, shout amen. If you know that God is indeed good, give God a shout of hallelujah. Some people just love the presence of the Lord. If you leave me, I can be here till tomorrow. I will just continue to worship. I think sometimes we need to just step back and allow God do what he wants to do. A lot of times we come into the presence of the Lord with our own agenda. And let me paint a picture. If you're going for a conference and you're going to hear somebody speak, case in point, right? Let's use showers. You've come to meet with God. You've come to hear a word, you know. It'd be funny if you came and you sat down, and right before Pastor was about to start preaching, so here's what I want. Here's what I think we should do. Here's what I think. If that was to happen, somebody would have to stop speaking, right? We can't be speaking at the same time, right? So if I was about to start, our pastor just starts. So I think what we should do, you see that? We'll look at each other. I'll have to stop because I'm... So you see that you are here to listen or you are here to preach? It can't be both. And a lot of times, when we come into the presence of the Lord, you see that we are there to receive or we are there to ask. And when I say ask, it's not... What would you have me do? That's not the kind of asking. We come with our own list. Lord, bless me. There are certain people that when you see their phone call, you don't want to pick up. Oh, can we be real? There are certain numbers when you see them calling you, you look and you don't pick up. Why? Because you know that all they are calling for is to ask for something. And it's very annoying when they start with small talk first. Hello, how are you? Just get to the point. Because you and I both know you're not calling to check on my well-being. You can't be calling me because you want something. How many of us are like that with God? And here's the crazy part. He knows the desires. He knows our motives. He sees beyond our words. So most of us run to church because we want something.
Ooh. Got very quiet all of a sudden.
We must go to church. Why? Because we want God to fix something. Because we want to receive something. Because we want God to do something. Not because we really care about Him. Or to check up on Him. Hey, God, how are you doing? He's God. Doesn't need anything. After all, He's God by Himself. You know the one thing God cannot do for Himself is worship. That is the one thing God cannot do. But you see, He's God. And He deserves worship. And He will receive worship. With or without you, worship must come. So Jesus says, if you do not cry out, rocks. The Bible says creation speaks. Creation has a voice. The rocks will cry out. And the reason why the devil is so jealous and so angry, and he will always disturb you for the rest of your life. You know why? Because you took his place. He was the angel of worship. Worship emanated from him. Everything. Lucifer, son of the morning. Without Lucifer, no worship started in heaven. He was created for worship. And then he fell. And then God said, let's make man, because I want communion. I want worship. I want relationship. But half the time, we come into the presence of God, we come with our 10-point agenda, 20-point manifesto. God, in case you have forgotten, you promised me last year. You promised me last year that I won't be here this year. Father God, this was not our arrangement. I'm supposed to have jackpot sense. I'm supposed to be in this country. We have our own agendas. And this kind of ties into what I want to touch on today. We're going to continue with Psalm 24. If you put it on the screen, let's do NKJV. We've been on this. And we talked about this last Thursday and a bit of the context. It is believed that this psalm centers around when David was taking the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And it's believed that this was the psalm that was being sang as they proceeded in 2 Samuel 6. And we've gone just beginning of the year, we've been going verse by verse, and it starts with 24:1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell therein. Continue on, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. We've done a deep dive into that. Continue. We said, this is where we were last week, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? We talked about the hill being his holy place. We talked about the hill being the presence of the Lord. We talked about every time God would want to speak to his prophets, or when he spoke to Moses, you know, took him up on Mount Sinai, no one could come, represented the most holy place, his presence. He said represented his presence in the ark as well. Who shall ascend to the holy hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? What is the prerequisite? What is the requirement? What makes you eligible? What qualifies you to be in this holy place? And the answer comes in the next verse. What does it say? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul to an idol. And then we said, there lies the problem. Because based on this prerequisite, nobody is going into the holy place of the Lord. Because nobody's here. Nobody here. Your hand, nobody's hand here is clean. Whether literally, figuratively, or literally. Nobody's hand is clean. Even physically, your hand is not clean.
You say your hand is clean, let's put it under a microscope. You yourself will be shocked at what you see on your hand. Clean hands and what? Pure heart. And that one is even worse than the hands. Because it said the heart of man is not even wicked. Desperately. You know when someone is desperate for something? So that's how your wickedness is. If you leave man to man, we are looking for ways. Isn't it interesting? Men are trying to invent more ways to kill people effectively, efficiently, on a large scale. One to destroy millions. Pathogens. They'll create. Why would you want to create something that you cannot see to kill somebody? And it's almost like a game. I'll press you with a pen, your whole body will shut down. Why is that necessary? Why are we creating viruses, AIDS, COVID, Ebola? What is causing our minds to go say, ooh, let's see if we create something that can kill. What will happen? Why? Why is it? Because our hearts are desperately wicked. Okay, gun is too big. We need a gun that is light. So you can carry it and they won't see. Then when you shoot somebody, it's too loud. Let's put silencer. So it's quiet. So you can kill someone more efficiently. Why? Do you want to be efficient in killing? We come up with different ways to propagate evil. Why? Because our hearts. Thank God I'm not like that. It will shock you. You who is listening to me. You know, it's easy to judge somebody until you're in their position. They say you don't really know the true heart of a person until you give him fame, opposition, and power. Money, fame, and power. You'll be shocked who you are. Is this me? Because you would. Some people say everybody has a price. No. I'm a man of integrity until when I listen to certain stories in the Bible, I'm like, man, God knows why he didn't burn me then, because I would have killed somebody. At least I'm being honest. How many of us would truly say, let's have a real conversation? If we were in Joseph's shoes, can we have a real conversation? Can we be honest? In Joseph's shoes, you were a king in your father's house, father's favored son. Then they sold you like a cheap commodity in a foreign land. But you now rose to the top. And in Egypt, Israelites were seen as less than you. They weren't considered human beings. You could not sit, an Egyptian could not sit and eat with an Israelite. That's why when Joseph and his brothers came, Joseph sat on a high table, everybody lower, because Egyptians and Israelites were not the same. That's why when he would cry in front of his brothers, he sent everybody out, because they could not see an Egyptian with an Israelite in that regard. And you've done all of this and got favor from your master. Now he's put you in charge of everything. And this man is the one that handles Pharaoh's guards. He's not just any random civilian. He's high up in the military. You're now in his house and you are minding your business. And his wife came and said, oh boy, come here. You have two options. Either sleep with me or I will say you raped me. Everybody's quiet now. So, I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't. If I sleep with you, what's the worst that will happen? Nobody will know, but God will know. But if I don't sleep with you, you will say that I, an Israelite slave, raped the general. Gerard's wife. And you know that what is probable is possibly your life. The only reason why Potiphar did not kill Joseph, because he knew this woman is lying. But I cannot be seen to take the word of an Israelite over my wife. That's the only reason why he kept his head. But I don't know about you, but how many people have ever been accused of something that you haven't? It's bad enough to be accused of something you have not done. It's worse to be punished, knowing fully well that you are innocent. It's very painful. You feel like the height of injustice. I don't know how many of us here would have taken Joseph's route and said, I can't do this against my master. Some people say, hey, I'm sorry, I don't want to do it, but shall let's do. Are we? Can we have the honest conversation? Oh, that one, I can still hold on to my resolve. What if you were put in a decision where you had to make a choice? True story, how am I here? Well, I've not started the sermon. True story. Woman, husband struggling, woman's the only one working, one child, very sick, need money for a procedure, about $3 million. Husband doesn't have it. Boss in the office says, yo, come. Your child is very sick. I'll give you the money. But you have to sleep with me. Your husband doesn't have to know. Your child is very sick. So who is wicked? Now you are quick to say the one that put you in that position is wicked. But he's selfish. It's the law of supply and demand. I have something that you want, and you have something that I want. So let's make an exchange. And in the grand scheme of things, you are getting the better end of the deal because my own is temporary. Me, I'll save your child's life. Everything is perspective. It's very quiet now. How many people will say, I can't do this against God? And I leave my child in the hands of the Lord. Whatever happens, happens. It's quiet now. It's uncomfortably quiet because everyone is searching their own hearts. Because when it comes down to it, the heart of man, does the end justify the means? Can we do a bad thing for a good cause? It might work your rationality, but God says, hey, the standard is the standard. That's why when the Hebrew boy said, listen, O king, our God is able to deliver us, so we will not bow. But even if he doesn't, how many of us are willing to get to the place where we say, even if Esther says, though he slay me, sorry, not Esther, Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust. How many people have reached that place in God where everything else be damned? Who can ascend into the hill of the Lord? I saw somebody wave his hand and say, I think I'm there. Ooh, don't be too quick. You have not seen the one that will. True story. I don't know why I'm here. Well, I've not started preaching. We're just having a conversation. A pastor decides to test his church. True story. So he staged something. And can I be honest? There have been many times I've, you know, in my theatrical mind, I've planned to do some stuff in church. I just say, no, let me not do it. Because it's very easy to set certain things up. But not to this degree. But this pastor decides to test his church. So he plants it where, during service, 10 men come in with hoods and with guns, and they shut the door, boom, 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 boom. And they line up and they say, very simple, denounce Christ and live. After all, we all say to live is Christ, to die is gain. Okay. Everybody, one by one, come out. Who here, we're going to ask you one question. You have one answer. Denounce Christ. If the answer is yes, you live. If the answer is no, you die. They bring out cutlass. How many people here, to live is Christ, to die? It's easy to talk the talk. It's easy, oh. But yet you have people who are not Christians who are willing to die for an ideal, die for a cause. I saw something online, and it was quite sad, about a student that was killed the day to his graduation. It was a cult clash, and I thought, to even be initiated into a cult, to be initiated inside cult first, they go in with the thought process that it is possible that you will not make it alive out of it. Do they go inside? How do you know? Have you joined? No. But I have plenty of people around me that have joined, that have told me, and have shown the marks. You go inside, and the Lord knows that's why probably they sent me abroad. Because who knows? They take you inside, and they will beat, shake it. Not one, not two, not three, not four. Naked, beat. And some people don't make it out alive, and they bury them there. Inside. And they go through the process knowing fully well that I might not come out on the other side. But to be part of this cult is worth it. Even my life. Can you say to be part of the Christ is worth it? Even your life. The Bible says those who love their lives will lose it. Jesus says, if you're not willing to deny your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your life, and follow me, then you are not worthy to be called. After all, Jesus, that's a bit harsh. Hold on. The one speaking loved the world so much that he what? And how did he give? I cannot ask you to do what I have not done. So I will set the example. I can die for you. I'll lay my life down. But if it came to it, would you do the same? Or let a seed fall into the ground and... Uh-oh. I don't know why I'm having this conversation. Think about all the disciples that we read about. All the ones that followed Jesus. All of them, what happened to them? Except one. But most of them, they didn't die in their bed, sleeping like this. Holy Ghost, take me now. That's not how they went. Upside down, split into two, boiled, dragged, beaten, thrown into lions, wolves. For your name we are beaten all day. Ah! And I say all this to say that there are so many levels and depths that we need to go in God. And we're still on the surface of bless me, bless me, bless me. Give me, give me, give me. If we check our prayer point, Even during fasting, what we are praying for. It's not that I may know you. Out of 10, 9 is bless me. If you carry 10 Christians, what was your prayer point for the year? Bless me. Bless my family. Protect me. Change my. Give me money. Give me house. Give me car. Give me food. Give me. 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 Hallelujah. Give me. What happened to that I may know you? I just want to know you more. Look at, continue. Look at the next verse. Who shall descend? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol. Anything that takes the place of God is in your life is a what? It's an idol. So even your needs and your wants can be an idol. Give me, give me, give me, bless me, change me, elevate me, give me, protect me, 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 me. Who is the center of your universe? You. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul. You shall have no one before me. But I dare say we have made us the gods in our own lives. Because everything we want to do is about us. Who has not lifted their souls to idols? Put up the next verse. Now, if you have a clean heart and clean hands and a pure heart, who have not given their souls to, what will happen? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and then what will happen? Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink. Do not worry about your life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then what? So the hack to getting blessings is not asking for blessings. If you seek Him, blessings will follow. We will be so much further in our walk with God if we took our eyes off, give me, give me, give me, give me. Paul says that I may know you, that I may apprehend that which I was apprehended after. I count everything else dung. Everything, everything. It's not about, is the goal is to know. If you look at the prophets of old, their desire and their zeal was not bless me, give me, change me. Moses, who spoke to God face to face in a conversation, what did he ask for? Show me your, not bless my family, not enlarge my ministry, not strengthen my business. He could ask God for anything because he was God's friend. He said, the other ones, I speak to them in mysteries and dreams. But not so. Not my servant Moses. Because I speak to him face to face. Like a man speaks to his friend. There are levels in this relationship with God. God was saying, Moses, now my guy. The God of the universe is your guy. But what you're asking for is show me. Show me. Show me your face. I want to know you. When God gave David's son, Solomon, a blank check, ask me for anything because of what your father, who your father was to me, and the covenant I made with your father. Ask me for anything. You know what he said? I want wisdom. And what was wisdom for? To lead the people that you have committed into my hand. And God says, okay. You see, because you have not asked for wealth and riches for yourself, I will give you riches the world has never seen. If he had asked for riches in that moment, he would have never been the richest man. What he wanted, but his heart was, Lord, so I can do what you've committed into my hands. How do you receive a blessing from God? He says, clean hands, pure heart, says righteousness. And then he shall receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Go to the next line, next verse. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek who? Not promotion, not power, not fame, not connection, not network, not net worth. Those who seek who? Who seek what? Your face. We need to change the desire of our pursuit. Not for his hand, but for his face. Moses got that a long time ago. Show me your face. God says, listen, no one can see my face and live. But I'll get my glory pass. And when my glory passes, I shall declare my name. And I will give you something that you can hold. I will tell you my name. My name is the Lord merciful. Because you realize that mercy is more powerful than money. Mercy in itself is its own kind of currency. Mercy, when you know that my name is merciful and you know that my nature is long-suffering, when you need it the most, you can appeal and pull on my mercy. If not for his mercy, none of us would be sitting here today. If not for his prevailing mercy that is new every day, we will not be here today. This is a generation that will seek you. Seek what? My face. And when I saw Jacob, I was intrigued. I started to think about the story of Jacob. Let's go to Genesis 32. Genesis 32, I want to say from the 24th verse. Let's put it on the screen. Genesis 32, 24. Let's see what it says. Now, to give you a bit of context, Jacob is about, he's coming back home. The last time Jacob was home, Jacob did as Jacob does. Jacob, the usurper, it means usurper, deceiver, supplanter. That's the meaning of his name. You know what he did? He stole the blessing that was meant for his brother. He was number two. He collected number one's blessing. But they have said it shall in the womb that the older will serve the younger. Which means that Jacob didn't really need to help God. But anyways, sometimes we don't need, God does not need our help. Before you were thought, before your father met your mother, I knew you, I formed you, I called you, I chose you, I called you, I set you apart. So everything in your life, God does not need. He has already charted the course of your life without your consent or your participation. You were not even a thought. You were not even, you were not even a fetus yet. You were just a vat. He's like, all right, Jacob does as Jacob does. Well, his mother kind of played a part in it too. says, yo, your father's about to die, quickly. And you know, see, they understood that the blessing outweighed inheritance. What do I mean? They understood that the blessing from a father before he died was worth more than cattle or sheep or goats, because that will go to your generations. It went beyond the physical to the supernatural. They understood that blessings will cause things that did not have in your life to come. It would control your environment. It was almost like a mantle over your head. So they did not play with the father's blessing. Becca says, your father is about to die. And he will always give you, they will always give blessings in proportion to your birth. So the first to collect more blessing. Go quick. I don't know how to cook, don't worry. While Esau was in the field, going to go and catch and cook. Going to go and catch and cook his father's favorite meal. Jacob had an ace. His mother, who knew his father's favorite, don't worry, you don't need to be able to cook, I'll do it for you. Prepared it. Go and give it to your father. But I'm not as hairy, don't worry. The animal that we killed, we'll put it. And he goes to give his father. His father is eating. And he says, come closer. I want to smell. Because the voice sounds like Jacob, but the hair feels like Esau. Because remember, Isaac was blind. And the reason why because they knew that if he smelled him, you smell like the field. Okay. There was a bit of, but this voice, you sound like, anyways, you have cooked, and I know that only Esau knows how to cook like this. And he cooked the favorite meal, and you feel the way he'd feel. So now, even though there's a bit of that, you know what, come, let me bless you. And then he blessed him. And then Jacob knew, this blessing on my head, however I got it, I've gotten it. But if I stay here, my brother will kill me. But let's ask a question. After all, did Esau not already give him his birthright? They had a conversation. Esau came, he was hungry. Jacob says, yo, you're hungry. Give me your, in other words, give me your position as first. And that's the deceiver, sharp guy. And Esau, so short-sighted, said yes, ate the food and gave him his birthright. So again, there was no need for all of this deception, because again, apart from the prophecy before they were born, even Esau by himself had bequeathed it to him. And what you saw there is a classic case of what the devil does. When he knows we are desperate and hungry, he will come in the moment. Come. Aren't you hungry? Turn this stone into bread and I will give you. He will give you short-term gratification for long-term bondage. Long-term problem. A lot of us will sell our souls for the short-term gratification, not caring about the consequence of tomorrow. So, Jacob takes it. What happens? And his mother's like, listen, if you come back, if your brother comes and catches you here, it's death. So he runs. And he runs away. And on his way, he had a dream, the ladder, and God promised him that he would bless him. And he said, I will return you back to your father's house. Although you have left with a staff, you will come back a company. Now he went away. Laban went to work with his mother's brother. Worked 7 years. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. He wanted to marry Rachel. His uncle said, oh, you that are just learning work, let me teach you how to be a deceiver. Isn't it funny? You know, growing up, you know, You didn't say this coming. Now from where you get her? Now from your mother's side. Now we inherited. Isn't it funny that when we were kids, we always think we can trick our parents? And our parents would be laughing, say, oh, this thing you want to do. You don't know that I invented it. I think I could always outsmart my dad and my mom. Now that I'm a dad, I'd be laughing. I'll ask my son something. He'll say, no. I say, oh. You know, I know where your DNA comes from. You want to try me? No. I said, you see, as your eye just moved, like I used to do. Come here. Tell me the truth. Oh, yeah, sorry. So he gets deceived. I will work for your daughter. But you didn't say which daughter. You said you want to marry my daughter. I said, yes. Take Leah. On the wedding night. Can you imagine? Ha. He says, don't worry. For the love, I will work another 7 years. That guy love her. I work another 7 years. So 14 years for Rachel. And then, you know, he leaves. God gives him mercy. He does the spotted thing with the and then the spotted sheep. Everyone that comes after, he had plenty. He jackpot. He did his own back and he left. Now he's coming back. But the problem is, you know, sometimes we run away from certain situations, but he still come and meet you in the front. So he ran away for many years, but now he has to go back home. And the brother that he stole from is waiting. Say you know, it's almost like when you go out late and your parents are waiting for you in the house. Say you, it's not the house you come back for. You'll come back. Even if it's 2 a.m., you'll just be sitting in the dark with belts. Welcome, come inside. Then you yourself will be thinking, should I go back? I think it's safer for me outside. Esau is waiting in the front. So Jacob, his old supplanting ways, what's he saying? Okay, how are we going to deceive? Okay, God, as you have made me a company, I'm going to send, he had 200 goats, she-goats, camels, men. He said, he told one of his men, come, go ahead of me. Because he's a sharp coward, Shah. You know why? He sent everything ahead with his children. And his servants, he said, go ahead. And the hope is that if he wants to start killing people, as if he kills my servants and boss, when he reaches my children, he will have mercy. But just in case he kill all of them, let me be. Jacob. So he sends everybody across and is left alone. Pick it up here, Genesis 24. Now Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And that word there, man, is Hebrew for angel, and we knew that he was from the Lord. A lot of times, God would appear in a man's form. Remember when he came with two angels and he spoke to Abraham? He came as a man, but he was not any man. He was God, right? A man came and wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Continue on. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Now, this blessing is not asking for money. Jacob already had wealth. He had, by the standard of what it was to be a wealthy man then, the more sheep and cattle and everything you had, you were already wealthy. So you were wealthy in goats, sheep, servants. He came back a company. He came back. He left with a staff. He came back with. So he was not asking for more money. He was not asking for influence. What was this blessing he was asking for? He says, I will not let you go until you bless me. Let's read on. So he says to him, "What is your name?" And he says, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you are asking about my name?" And he blessed him there. Go on. So Jacob called the name of the place what? Peniel. "For I have seen God face to face, and my life was preserved." What he was fighting for was not money. What he was fighting for was not fame. What he was fighting for was not connection. He knew that he was in the presence of God, and he had decided, "God, I want to know you in such a way that my nature will change. That the man that I cannot leave this place the same way I came." It is equivalent to Moses saying to God, "Show me your face. Show me. Tell me who I am. What you want from me. Because I know that a word from your mouth can change my life." We come to God asking for money when God wants to speak to your generation. God wants to change the nature, your very nature. When he was going to change Abraham, he said, "Your name shall no longer be Abraham, but Abraham." Why? Because you are a father of nations. So I will change your name because I'm going to tell you who you are. A lot of times we come into the presence of God and we don't even allow him to tell us who he has made us. What he wants from us. What he wants us to do. You're so worried about your next meal. He's called you to your generation. He wants to do things in your life. And what does he do? He touches his hip. Because I want your gait to change. I want your walk to change. You can't come into my presence and remain the same. Something about you must change. Your nature must change. Your mindset must change. You are a usurper. You are a deceiver, a supplanter. You are deceptive. I will change your name because you are no longer a supplanter. You are Israel. And what he was wrestling for was that blessing. Tell me who I am. Tell me what you have of me. He already had the company. He already had everything. I want more. I want to know that I may know you. That I may know you. What is it that I want? To know you. Because the more I know you, the more you show me who you've made me to be. The more I pursue you, the more the blessings come after me. Because everything that I will ever need pertaining to life and godliness, he has already blessed me with all spiritual blessings. The focus is not money. The focus is not fame. That I may know you. Because if you lift me up, I will draw men unto you. If you lift me up, I am the one. He told his disciples, "Go into the," I said, "and take no purse. Don't worry about what you eat or drink. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." He knows things that you don't know. He sees things you don't see. Hidden treasures in dark places. He knows. If I need to have money come, cast your net. You need to pay your taxes. Cast your net. And then what will happen? You will catch a fish. And you open the mouth of the fish. And in the mouth of the fish will be the money that you need. Last I checked, they're not money, fish money species. I don't know. Fishes that spit money out. But the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If you seek him that I may know him, show me your face. Show me you. What is it you want from me? What is it you want to tell me? Show me where you want me to go. Tell me where you'd have me be. What is it you'd have me say? I want to be a representation on earth that I may know you. I will not let you go until you tell me who I am. I will not let you go until you show me your face. I will not let you go until you show me your glory. I will not leave here the same way I came. I will not leave here with the same struggles. I have cast it down. I want to know you. I will not let you go. Every time we come before him, as I close, when you come before a king, sometimes I watch and I look at how we handle monarchs and kings here on earth. If you ever go and have the privilege of meeting the Queen of England, well, now the king, you can never back royal. You can't show them your back. That is disrespectful. If you go, even here, you want to go and see the Oni, or you want to go see the Oba, or you want to go see, you cannot stand before the king. You cannot be higher than the king. So you must stoop low, you know, because you are showing respect, obeisance. You put yourself in a lower place. But when we come before the king of kings, the one who owns the universe, we come with a sense of entitlement. We dare come with anger, like spoiled children. But you have not done what you said. Do you know who you speak to? The one that owns the breath in your lungs. Do you know who you speak to? Who woke you up this morning? Who allows your heart to keep beating? Who keeps it in rotation? The sun rises. He says he spoke it once and he established the earth. One time, the sun rises and sets. The moon comes. The boundaries, the seas do not cross. Everything. I was watching something. It says someone's looking outside an astronaut. She said there is a thin layer around the earth's sphere. And everything outside that, you're exposed to the universe. It's a very thin layer. But everything is like a green hue, and that keeps and ensures that everything on earth stays living. It is the barrier between gravity that keeps us feet planted than us floating. In what part of that equation do you feel that you contribute in any way? How do you contribute to this equation? What do you do? What cog are you in the system? Man that's created from the dust of the earth. That's why they say, what is man that you are so mindful of him? Even what he was made from is dust. From ashes, from dust we were created, and from dust we will return. But yet we come to God chest puffed, angry, entitled. But this is a generation of Jacob that will seek him. That will seek his face. You want your life to change? Let your prayer point from now on be that I may know you. What do you want? That I may know you. Because when you know him, you know his heart in every situation. And when you know his heart in every situation, then you will become as your Father in heaven. And once you are like your Father in heaven, you begin to see. When he says, let everything, he says, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. You will literally begin to see heaven here on earth. So from this moment on, when you say, bless me, not bless me with money, bless me with your presence. Talk to me in the night. Whisper in my ears like you did to Moses. Show me things about you. Tell me things. The desires of your heart. Let me see as you see. Let me want as you want. Let me move as you move. After all, it is in you that I'm supposed to live, move, and have my being. The way to do that is to be in sync, that I may know. I count everything else, like Paul said, as nothing, as dung. No achievement, nothing I've done, not my network, not who I know, not my name, not anything. Everything pales in comparison to knowing you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the honor and the privilege to come before you, that you allow us the freedom, the ability, the choice to choose you, that we get to enjoy your prevailing mercy, because it rains on the just and the unjust, not because we are better, but because you are simply merciful. Long-suffering, gracious. Father, forgive us for being entitled. Forgive us for making our needs, our wants, idols in our lives. And may our pursuit while we are here on earth be that we may know you, that we may see your face, that we may know your heart. I want to see thee more clearly. Love thee more dearly. Follow thee more nearly. I want to see thee more clearly. Love thee more clearly. Follow thee more clearly. Day by day. Father, that is our heart's desire. That is our heart's cry. May you show us your face. May our hearts be inclined to you. We give you glory, all honor, adoration, and thanksgiving be yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I pray that you were blessed. And if you enjoyed what you heard, please be sure to subscribe. And if you know a fellow lion that needs to join the tribe, please be sure. Send them this link. Share this episode. God bless you.